Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is November the 4th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, guys, I apologize for the hiatus from the podcast that I took. As you may have noticed, I was gone for about a month from the podcast, and if you saw my tweet, that was because my laptop broke. The screen completely shattered. I had to send it over through Best Buy and the Geek Squad to have them repair it, and it was shipped over across the country. I barely got it back, so hopefully there aren't any more setbacks. I'm very optimistic and very happy to be back on the mic and bringing you guys some content. Now, what a better week to come back than for the Dolphins' first win of the season. This has many people torn. It has set the internet ablaze, of course. People are very interested in this tanking Dolphins team that ended up beating their former coach and looking dominant in this performance. Now, before we get into whether this was a good thing that they won or whether it's a bad thing, does this mess up the tank? First, let's talk about the win itself and the game and dive into that before we get into this whole mess about whether it was a good thing or whether it was a bad thing, whether it's going to haunt them. Let's put that aside just for now and focus on the win. So the Dolphins ended up winning this game by a score of 26-18. And really, the Dolphins, I think, dominated more than the score suggests. I mean, if you look at this, a one-possession game, you would think the Jets were really in it. But the Dolphins, for the most part, were in control the whole length of the game. Now, a theme with the Dolphins has been that they come out with these really surprisingly strong first half performances. We saw it against the Dallas Cowboys. People were freaking out there. We saw it as well with the Buffalo Bills. We saw it recently with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But what ended up separating this game from those was this dominating first half performance, I think, put them in such a good position for the rest of the game that they were able to have some minor mistakes here and there and still be in control of the game. Whereas in those other performances, they came out looking lifeless. In this one, they really showed life through the whole duration of the game, and it was really set up by that really good first half performance, at least in my eyes, for this Dolphins team. So we dive into some of the individual performances. First, we start with the quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who ended up having a pretty nice day for the Dolphins, 24 for 36, 288 yards, and 3 touchdowns for the veteran, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, it must be said, I apologize, because I said that the offense would look better with Josh Rosen at the helm. And based off the first few games of the season, I think that was still accurate. But right now, it's undeniable that there is some sort of life with Fitzmagic at the helm. We are seeing that good side of Ryan Fitzpatrick right now. I have no doubt that eventually it's going to rear its ugly head and we're going to see some of the bad side of him as well. But I'm curious to see how long he could maintain this, and it is definitely enjoyable to watch when he is having these nice little runs even at this age. So a good performance by Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it was helped a lot by some very good performances by some of the receivers here. Now, probably the player of the game here for the Dolphins is wide receiver Preston Williams. He had 5 catches, 72 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he almost had a third. He dropped it, but it was a difficult catch. It wasn't the stereotypical easy drop that we see from him, unfortunately. It was a kind of a contested sort of catch. So he could have had 3. He ended up with 2. And a lot of people, you know, they're very interested in Preston Williams now across the NFL. It isn't just Dolphin fans. Because the way I'm looking at it, I'm not necessarily surprised. Of course, I'm glad to see this, but if you would have told me that Preston Williams had a performance like this, 2 touchdowns, 70 yards, I would say, yeah, of course, he's bound to have one. He is a guy with wide receiver one sort of potential. He is bound to have one of these performances. He ended up doing so in this game. It has me very excited that this could be one of many more to come. But now that brings me to the unfortunate part of this game, and it was that Preston Williams left with an injury to his knee. Right now, they're saying that it is a knee sprain. He had to be carted to the locker room. He was able to limp off the field. He really couldn't put any weight on it. The fact that he was carted to the locker room, to me, says that it's significant based on that. And the fact that the team isn't really competitive right now, I would say that it seems pretty likely in my mind that he's going to miss some sort of time, more than a week, I think. And I'm hoping it's not anything that's too serious. So, of course, we're all hoping for a speedy recovery. And I'm hoping for the Dolphins not to put Preston Williams on punt returns anymore. I don't think that he needs to be out there. I think he has already proven his value. You don't have someone, and I don't think he really fits the mold of someone who should even be there in the first place. He's kind of a taller guy. He isn't necessarily the shiftiest, quickest guy. His stiff arms on those punt returns are pretty exciting to watch, but I don't think it's worth the risk having him back there. It's been very confusing to me, and I said that very early on in the season, and I don't want to be just saying that now in hindsight, of course, because he's hurt, but it just doesn't make sense to me having him on punt returns. I don't think the benefit outweighs the risk of having him out there. Now, we move on to the next receiver who had a very good day, and that is Devontae Parker, who had 4 catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Devontae Parker now has 4 touchdowns in his last 5 games. So Devontae Parker is very quietly having a very good season so far. Now, if you've been listening to me, what I've been saying, and I'll say it again, is distance yourself, disassociate yourself from that opinion of him being some illustrious first round potential receiver. Get that out of your mind and just accept that he could be a very valuable tool on this team. He is putting up wide receiver 2 numbers. He is looking good. He is dramatically cutting down on the amount of mistakes he makes. And then aside from that, he is staying healthy. And when I talked to Devontae Parker, if you remember, I included a clip of my interview with him. Devontae Parker was very angry, and he isn't somebody that typically I know as someone who would get angry. He sounded very frustrated with people's opinion in regards to him being injured so much. Football is a sport where they're colliding at these high speeds. These are some of the biggest guys, some of the strongest, fastest players. Injuries are bound to happen. A player cannot control the fact that they are injured. I think Devontae Parker has caught a lot of unnecessary slack from fans about his injury, something that he cannot control, something that he himself is very frustrated that he can't be out there on the field. And I think that Dolphin fans, now it is our time to kind of ease some of this pressure off him. Stop looking at him with a microscope, waiting for him to make a mistake, waiting for him to get hurt. It's kind of worn out at this point. Just accept that he can be a valuable tool with a lot of upside. He still has a lot of potential, and I don't think he's someone that should be criticized as much as he is. And now with Preston Williams being hurt, this is really Devontae Parker's time to shine even more so. He is somebody that is finally looking like he could be a valuable tool on fantasy teams as well. I am very, very happy with what I've seen from wide receiver Devontae Parker. Now, another guy that I'm very, very pleasantly surprised about is Mike Gesicki. 6 catches, 95 yards. That is a career high for him. Mike Gesicki this year has more receiving yards than a lot of these top tight ends. Guys like Jimmy Graham, Mike Gesicki has more. OJ Howard, Jared Cook. And now all those guys are having lackluster seasons, but it really shows you that the wide receiver position this season has been very, very dry in a way. There's a huge discrepancy from the elite and from the guys who are not performing at all. There's almost no middle ground. So you kind of have to be happy when you have any sort of promise in your tight ends. So Mike Gesicki in this game, I loved his performance. I loved his ability to catch and his speed. But what impressed me the most was how fired up this guy, him and Mark Walton. Every play, they were just either pumping up the fans or, you know, talking trash to a defender. They were just so fired up and passionate about this game that it really had me excited as a Dolphins fan. So Mike Gesicki is somebody that has, of course, enormous potential. He's that guy that was considered to be one of the top tight ends in his draft class. I personally was bigger on Dallas Goedert, and right now I'm still sticking with that opinion, but it's not to say that Mike Gesicki is somebody I don't believe in. He is proving me wrong more and more, and after this performance, it was just, I'm right on the edge. I'm still leaning Goddard, but Mike Gesicki, man, he had a great performance. I am loving what I'm seeing from him. And again, Ryan Fitzpatrick is just really getting some of the best out of these weapons on the offensive side. Now, the running game in this one was unfortunately not really present. Mark Walton did not really get anything going on the ground. He finished the game with only 29 yards rushing, 2.4 yards per carry. There was really nothing for him to work with. Again, this was in a game after Kenyon Drake was traded, after Kenyon Drake had some very good success with the Cardinals in his debut. People were hoping Mark Walton could show some of that in his first day as kind of the lone starter in this offense. That did not happen in this game. Again, it wasn't all his fault. If there is a positive with Mark Walton, he looked very, very fired up in the early parts of this game. Something, of course, that I was very happy to see. Now, we move on to the defensive side of the ball, and we saw some good performances from some guys in the secondary that we don't characteristically talk about in a positive light here in this podcast. And first, Nick Needham. There's been so many bad things said about him. I have been roasting him, and it pains me to do it because I'm sure he's a great guy. But Nick Needham had a very good game in this one. He had 6 tackles. He had this incredible sack on Sam Darnold where he completely lit him up coming off the edge. It was a very good game from Nick Needham, leading the team in tackles in this game. Another guy was Jamal Wiltz, who had 5 tackles right behind Needham there. And Jamal Wiltz also had a pick in this game as well as a pass deflection. Jamal Wiltz pick came on this terrible, extremely questionable throw by Sam Darnold, one of the worst picks you'll truly ever see. But Jamal Wiltz, you know, went up, recognized where the ball was, and made a good play on the ball. Good performance from him as well. And then Devon Godshaw had a sack. Christian Wilkins had a sack. He also had a pretty bad penalty, but he is also bringing some good energy to this defense as well. So, but just the defense as a whole is so different to me when I'm looking at what Brian Flores is doing with it, just because of the uniqueness and the creativity involved. And when I look at it, there are so many guys lined up on the line of scrimmage at times. You don't know who they're sending on to blitz you. You don't know who's dropping back in coverage. You don't know where guys are going to be. It's so interesting to watch, and it's so different from the defense we saw with Matt Burke, which was kind of, in a way, looked like it was almost the base defense every single time. They were giving these guys like a 15-yard cushion. There was no pressure. This is completely different, and it all begins with Brian Flores and his staff doing a very good job. And keep in mind, Xavien Howard's out. A lot of the guys, Rashad Jones is out as well. They're missing a lot of talent. Jamal Wiltz, Nick Needham aren't the typical guys you want to have leading your defense. But you know what? They put them in the right position. They're complementing their skills well. And while there have been some head scratchers throughout the season, like that blitz call against the Steelers, in this game, we saw what happens when it all starts to connect really well. So just think about what this defense could be if you had some very talented elite players, which the Dolphins could very well get through free agency or through the draft next year when they have all this money and all these draft picks to spend. So there is just a ton of things to be excited about. So now we wrap up this episode with the idea and the argument as to whether you should be happy or whether you should be mad about the Dolphins winning or losing this game. Honestly, the only way, you know, I can't control your opinion. Frankly, I'm in the middle. I mean, I understand the argument to be made about, you know, being frustrated with a win here. Like, there's no denying it's going to suck if this one win is what costs the team from getting to it. There's no denying that. And I understand the argument with wanting wins. I mean, if you're a fan of this team, you're always going to be cheering for a win. And there's a lot of things to root for, especially when you're playing a rival team like this, when you're playing a team that's going up against your former head coach, someone who is so arrogant and smug like Adam Gase. There's a lot to be happy with a win here. So the only thing, I'm not going to tell you what to think, but I'm going to say that whatever opinion you have, just express it in a civilized human manner. I don't understand when people get so quick to be angry about either of these arguments to be made. I see people on Twitter that are just fuming, constantly just so mad. Like, they're saying things like, how could you be happy with a win? This, you're the reason why the Dolphins aren't going to get Tua. You're the reason that the team never progresses. We have no control over what happens with the team. If you agree with what they're doing or not, just express it in a civilized manner. There's ways to do it. And at the end of the day, just remember, you're all fans of the same team. You all want the team to be good, whether you're rooting for wins now, whether you're rooting for wins later. I mean, we all want the same thing. It just doesn't make sense to me when people are having these really unnecessarily violent arguments with members of their own fan base, especially when it comes to things like being happy over a win. It doesn't make sense to me, especially when it's something that our opinion doesn't have any sort of effect on the outcome of whether the team gets Tua or not. It's just purely that person's individual outlook and their spin on it. So guys, that's how I'm going to wrap up this episode. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. I've been using my Twitter via the source a lot. So if you want to stay more updated on news about the Dolphins and the NFL, I highly recommend you follow that one as well. I've been using it a lot more frequently, including videos, pictures, things like that. So go check it out. And as always, if you could leave a review on the podcast, if you like it. If you don't, please give me some sort of feedback or things you think I could improve on. And then if you have anything that you would like for me to discuss, I would be more than happy to discuss it. All news about the NFL, more questions about the Dolphins. Guys, I appreciate it. Your support means a lot. If you're still listening, I apologize for the delay, but I promise you I am back. So again, guys, a pleasure to be your host. I'm Steven Masso. This was Via the Source.